Welcome to TP Talks, PwC's Global Transfer Pricing podcast series. This is part two of the BEPS Action 13 podcast. Part one provided a global overview of BEPS Action 13 implementation, including a discussion of how countries have adopted country-by-country reporting legislation. Leading this podcast are Matias Pedavia, PwC's Global Leader of Global Coordinated Documentation, GCD, and a principal in the PwC Miami office. Ogniana Todorova, the Americas Cluster GCD leader and a managing director in the PwC New York office, and Michael Walter, PwC Central Cluster GCD leader and a partner in the PwC Madrid office.
Let's move to the other two requirements, right? The master file and the local file. Mm-hmm. Particularly on the master file, I know there was a lot of noise in terms of the information that is required, that is confidential, so on and so forth. But How are you guys seeing companies or groups are approaching the preparation of the master file?
Right. So, starting from a European perspective, I guess, Matias, that it depends on what type of company you're actually looking at, i.e. you might have companies that only have one business line, or you might have two conglomerates that have several business lines. So that obviously impacts what is the most practical way to actually go about preparing your master files and local files as well. But at the same time, companies need to be mindful that regardless as to what the most practical way to prepare their transfer pricing documentation is, the way that we're seeing Action 13 play out and with the various penalty regimes, you will still need to share all of the relevant master file information in probably most of the jurisdictions where you have taxable presence and where Action 13 has been implemented. But a completely different question is, what is the most practical and what is the most strategic way to actually go about preparing that documentation, be it with just one master file, be it modular by business line, or to pull more information down into the local files.
Mm-hmm. So, Ogniana, I think it's, as Michael mentioned, in Europe there is a position there or views, but what about the U.S.? Because the interesting thing is that the U.S., as you mentioned before, we introduce only CYC requirements, but technically no master file, local file. So are the U.S. groups working on the master file or not?
Oh, yes, they are, because they know that they have these transfer pricing documentation requirements in other countries. And as we know, we should just have one master file for the group. And whether that's prepared centrally and that there's a capability centrally to prepare everything that needs to be in the master file, it's not the case in all companies. Some are more centralized than others. But there is definitely work to be done, because a lot of the elements that are necessary for the master file need to be also collected locally or sanity checked locally.
Right.
So we're finding that. I think one other aspect, a lot of our non-financial services clients are for the first time looking into their financial transactions, and we're getting a lot of questions in terms of what is the content of what we need to put in the master file for those transactions. Do we need to have the analysis, or is it good enough to just list the type of transactions or the loans that exist and leave that for a separate file? So I think what I've seen is that this is a very strategic exercise, and a lot of thought needs to go into it. And sometimes we're finding that the tax department alone is not able to, or in some cases willing to sign off on those types of exercises. So we see involvements from legal and PR firms, because I think our view is that the master file will become public at some point. Yep. And it's a pretty important document.
Yeah, that's a general view, actually. I think that's the most reasonable expectation to have, that at some point in time the master file and maybe even also the CBCR might end up in the public domain.
So that's why I think I will concur with both of you that is the strategic element of designing the master file and the content is key. And of course there are questions about how are we obtaining the information? Do we rely exclusively on a 10K annual report type of information? public information or the EU master file, but I think it's the agreement in the community is that this is that is a good starting point, but definitely not the end. There are a lot of information that is required that are not necessarily described in the 10K the way the master file is requesting. Let me move quickly on the local file. What we are seeing is that only a small portion of the countries have endorsed or adopted the local file as the OECD suggested or recommended. And therefore, we still see a number of countries that have their own local flavor or local requirements, either the ordering, the tested party, like the case of Argentina, Michael, that we were discussing before, and the like. So any views on that in terms of the local file? Can we rely exclusively on the OECD local file recommendation or guidelines, or what is your view there?
Right. I would think that that's probably, the answer might be very similar, independently as to what geographic region you look at in throughout the world, i.e. you will have some countries that that actually have adopted the local file as described in Action 13, but you will have many other countries where you have a lot of similar content, but with a lot of nuances as well. Mm-hmm. So that goes for Europe, that also goes for Asia, and that touches on the way that we were starting this conversation, yeah. Actually, that sure, that there are some common denominators, but it's not homogeneous common denominators, and there are a lot of nuances that companies need to be aware of.
Yeah, and from a US perspective, we already said that, you know, mm-hmm. local file is not necessary. We still keep with the 6662 documentation. But I think, you know, another thing to mention, Michael and Ed, on what you were saying, you know, a lot of our clients, a lot of companies have been preparing transfer pricing documentations on a global basis for the last many years because of transfer pricing documentation requirements. And the question is, you know, does that go away? I think we've already said that does not go away. I think that there's a way to tweak that documentation and convert it to a local file by adding certain items like intercompany agreements and APA rulings, and really review that in terms of, you know, what the OECD model is now. But you know, we are not envisioning two files necessarily. It's more an additive here. So I think there's definitely work to be done on the local file, but perhaps it's less creative work, I think, in terms of, you know, we have a starting point compared to the master file, which is mm-hmm. in most cases brand new.
Correct. So I think to summarize this point, I think that the trend when these documents came out at the beginning was that was going to be a clear centralization of everything related to compliance or documentation. And what we are seeing is more than a centralization, is a more coordination or coordinated approach. Yes, there are certain aspects that should be discussed at the central level and developed at the central level, but there are a number of areas or aspects that needs to be addressed at the local level. So the old saying of thinking globally, acting locally, I think it's applicable here more than ever. So let me shift to the last topic of the conversation today, and is related to that, right? To the centralization, coordination, and therefore resources. What type of resources companies would need? Definitely with the Action 13 implementation, we, as we discussed before, there is a propagation of requirements. Those grew exponentially. So how companies are dealing with that? Are we expanding our existing teams, either tax or transfer pricing teams at the group level? What is the technology that they are using to expedite or have a more efficient and consistent approach? So any views on these topics?
Yeah, let me address the human side of things. I think that there's no question that more work needs to be done. There's more the need for more output. And I think the need for a more strategic output because of the transparency that we're facing. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing is, yeah, there's companies are expanding their tax departments, specifically With respect to transfer pricing capabilities, that is definitely a trend. However, there are others that have cost considerations, and you know, there's the cost-benefit analysis that needs to happen, and you know, perhaps the existing resources can address certain transfer pricing tasks, and we're working in an expanded manner too as consultants with those types of companies. So we see a mix of reactions, and I think this will most likely maintain to be the case in the next few years until we get to the sort of a steady state in this environment.
Mm-hmm. And in line with that, Ognjana, from a technology point of view, I think that what we're seeing is, based on all the things that we have been discussing throughout this conversation, companies have a need to take into account a lot more information than what they used to with regards to transfer pricing documentation. In terms of more information is needed, that information resides in different information sources. What is required throughout the various jurisdictions is not homogeneous. So you also need perspective as to what do you need where and when. So all of that basically triggers also the need on how can technology enable and how can technology facilitate companies to actually be compliant in the most efficient way. And with some central aspects, of course, but as we have mentioned throughout this conversation, in light of all these local nuances and differences, local involvement also needs to be there. So technology can also be an enabler to further foster collaboration throughout various jurisdictions within the multinational itself or with the outside advisors. But similar message to what you were just mentioning, Ognjana, from the human resources point of view. So yes, there is definitely value and the need for more centralization, but at the same time with local involvement in light of all of these nuances. And it's also relevant to point out that transfer pricing documentation is something that will potentially be asked for by local tax authorities, so that you need the local buy-in in those reports in order for them to stand behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you, Michael. So let me wrap this up with a few key takeaways. I think that the first one is clearly going back to your point, Ognjana, on a lot of volatility and a lot of changes in the marketplace. So first of all, we need to monitor the adoption of the new rules in countries that are relevant to you, to your organization. The second key takeaway, I think, it's to develop a strategic approach to preparing all tiers of your documentation. Equally important is we need to ensure that all our tiers of documentation have a consistent fact pattern, and at the same time strike the right balance between centralization and localization. Unfortunately, this is the new normal, and this should be and will be an annual exercise. And I think because of all of the things, as Michael mentioned, we need to determine how technology can help us in preparing documentation as an enabler rather than a solution per se. So with this, we conclude with this podcast. Thank you very much for listening. For anyone interested in further information, our contact details are available in the description of the podcast. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.